This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A high-stakes manufacturing derby involving airplanes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions, online at uhc.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and we'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, South Carolina has just sweetened the pot as it tries to win a bigger share of Boeing's aircraft building operations. The state will sell $85 million in bonds, in part to pay for land for the aerospace giant. As Jim Burris reports, it's about South Carolina wanting to pull the business of building the new 777X away from the Seattle area.
So do Texas, Alabama, California, Kansas. 15 sites are courting Boeing. Many are pitching a brand new factory and workforce to build the brand new plane. Not smart, says aviation analyst Richard Abulafia.
If there's one absolute no-no in this project, it's a completely greenfield facility.
Boeing learned that lesson after choosing South Carolina to build the troubled 787. Those kinks are mostly worked out, and compared to Washington, South Carolina offers looser regulation, lower wages, and no union. But aviation consultant Scott Hamilton says Seattle's highly skilled workforce and the state's generous incentives give it an edge.
It's the best business choice. I don't know how likely it is given the antipathy that Jim McNerney has for the union.
The Boeing CEO wasted no time reaching out to other states after the machinists union recently voted down Boeing's contract offer, which would have guaranteed the 777X stay in Washington. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. Japan's Nikkei fell 0.2%. The FT100 in London is down 0.4% right now. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down slightly. If Scotland were to pull away from England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, what would society look like? What would its economy look like? The Scottish National Party today issued a kind of mission statement to start answering those questions. In 10 months' time, voters in Scotland will be asked, yes or no, should Scotland be an independent country? The BBC's Andrew Walker has been looking at the economic context for this. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
So give me a sense of the blueprint being offered here about Scotland's future.
Some of the big challenges they would undoubtedly face would be economic. And one of the big issues they'd have to decide is which currency to use. What the Scottish National Party is saying they would do is have a currency union with the rest of the United Kingdom. And as we know from the Eurozone, running a currency union with more than one government involved can sometimes be pretty challenging.
As Scottish people engage this debate over possible independence and their future, how is the economy in Scotland as distinct from the rest of the United Kingdom?
The obvious big difference is that oil and gas production accounts for a much larger share of the Scottish economy. And that's actually one of the underlying themes often in Scottish national politics has been the idea that the British government in London is taking what they would regard as Scottish oil and gas revenues. And because of the oil and gas, Scottish income per person is actually slightly higher than the rest of the UK. The rest of the Scottish economy in some ways is quite like the rest of England. There's a small but still significant manufacturing share, and services, in particular financial services, are very important. So there are some similarities. The big difference is oil and gas.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Would you lend your car to someone, maybe your twin sister, but what about a stranger? A new company is betting that just as people increasingly rent their houses on Airbnb, they may also be willing to hand over the car keys. KPCC's Ben Bergman has the story.
The co-founders of FlightCar look like college freshmen, and that's because they would be if they hadn't decided to start this company. Kevin Petrovich is 19.
I would have gone to Princeton.
Rajul Zapardi is 18.
I would have gone to Harvard.
Instead, they decided to take on the $11 billion airport car rental industry. That's even though they're too young to rent a car themselves. They've opened locations in San Francisco, Boston, and L.A.
At any given moment in time, there's something like 360,000 cars just sitting there in long-term parking lots at the top 30 airports in the United States. That's just very inefficient.
So FlightCar will pay you if someone rents your car up to $20 a day. They pick you up in a black sedan and throw in a car wash. And most importantly, they offer all the peace of mind a $1 million policy can buy.
Everything is insured up to $1 million. We'll cover liability, we cover any collision, theft, damage. So even if there's a small scratch on the car, anything like that, it's fully covered.
So who's actually brave enough to loan their car to a complete stranger? I mean, we all know how people treat rental cars, right? It tends to be those in their late 20s or early 30s, but not everyone is so youthful. Walt French is a 65-year-old San Francisco portfolio manager who just got a $111 check for renting out his Acura.
To me, the great value on this is that prior to learning about FlightCar, I was parking at the airport at about $15 to $18 a day.
French is hooked. So is Joe Rosenberg, who rents his BMW twice a month.
I mean, you know, there's obviously little things like the mirrors or the seat might be in a different spot, but that's no different than if you were to, you know, valet park your car somewhere.
But other customers have shared horror stories online about finding decomposing fried chicken wings stuffed in the side door pocket or not getting reimbursed when their car got in an accident. Investors don't seem to be scared away, though. FlightCar has raised around $6 million, getting funding from celebrities Ashton Kutcher and Ryan Seacrest. In Los Angeles, I'm Ben Bergman for Marketplace.
And setting the record straight on turkey making you sleepy, a food science professor at Colorado State wants us to stop singling out tryptophan, an amino acid in turkey that normally gets the blame for the postprandial lethargy, food coma, if you're new to public radio. The professor says it's all the carbohydrates, plus the tryptophan, plus staying up late at night, plus the alcohol, plus the overeating that makes you sleepy. There's also listening to Uncle Frankie's retrograde politics throughout the meal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.